For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right now, we have to do our podium. So let's go ahead and fire this bad boy up. The way this works is this. We're going to name three players for the Canes over the last week that have earned their way onto our metaphorical podium. Who gets the gold medal? Who gets the silver medal? Who gets the bronze medal? And then we'll name some that were in contention that we discussed just because, well, you won a playoff game over the last week, so there's more than enough love to go around. Well, as always, we start with bronze. Bronze, Stephen Nason. We actually haven't talked probably enough about Nason today.
Yeah.
Because Kuzi scored, and because Freddie did this, and because the new guys did that. And maybe it's just kind of Nason-like to get mixed up a little bit and overlooked. But he contributed to both of the first two goals, in one indirect and one direct. And then, Dennis, you were bringing up how his importance of just where he likes to play and kind of the vibe he likes to play, how important that is in the postseason.
So it just – his style of play is fit for postseason because we're all the goal scorer. Some dirty, grimy, got to get to a dirty area type thing. And you know,
take a hit as you're letting it go.
Exactly. Doing those things. Even if you look at the empty net goal that Martinez just scored, it was still dig in, face off, win, board battle that was won to get the empty netter. But for him, the very first goal scored by Kuznetsov, he had what we like to call a flyby screen. So he just skated right in the vision of Semyon Varlamov, the goaltender for the New York Islanders. So as soon as Kuznetsov released the shot, Varlamov couldn't see it because Nason just getting in his line of sight, skating right by him. So I call it a flyby. But in the second one, Kuznetsov shot deflected by Brady Shea, who's right there at the front of the net to clean things up. It's Stephen Nason. It's those kinds of goals. That's the reason why we saw in last year's playoffs, we saw Jesper Fast have two overtime winning goals. That's why we saw a guy like, you know, Paul Stastny. Paul Stastny scored a bunch of goals in his career, but he was playing on the fourth line with Carolina last year. We've seen Stephen Nason score playoff goals. It's that style of play that generally gets rewarded in the playoffs. Over the course of 82 games of the regular season, you're not going to be generally scoring 35 goals that way. But in these games where it's a lot of, like, tight space, not a lot of room to work with, it's the guys who are willing to fight and get to those areas and also succeed doing it that are generally rewarded. And that's why he got the game-winning goal, because that's just his style of play.
We've been talking about the depth of this team for a while now and how that's kind of a difference. Mm-hmm. Kuznetsov scored a goal. Nason scores a goal. And Drury wins that face-off that you were talking about with the cotton swab stuffed up his nose.
Yeah, stuffed up his nose.
That's technically, maybe not technically. That is listed as the fourth line.
That was the quote-unquote fourth line. Like, and they made the big plays.
So that is part of what this Canes team has that not many teams in the NHL do. You can have a game where Aho, Gensel, Jarvis, they were everybody's darling. They were looked at as the best of this, the best of that. They finished the day with 0 points or 0 goals, 0 assists combined, and a total plus minus of 0.
Yeah.
And you win 3-1 because your fourth line puts up all the success that we're talking about. And that's kind of where Stephen Nason, you know, makes his hay. Sure. Is he a fourth liner? I guess technically.
Yeah. But skates on the power play a little bit.
But if Stephen Nason is on your fourth line, that says something about your depth that's pretty darn good.
And other teams are going to load up to stop Gensel, mm-hmm. Aho, Jarvis. Other teams are going to load up. Exactly. So who has to take advantage of the matchup? It's those guys.
Speaking of those guys that took advantage of matchups, silver medal goes to Evgeny Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
Talk about announcing your presence in the postseason. We talked about this a little bit earlier on. He hadn't scored since March 17th.
Mm-hmm.
That is a month of regular season hockey.
He
just did not score. He's in the postseason for like a minute and a half, and he finds the back of the net. That is the definition of why you brought him in.
I thought he had not even taken an even strength shift. That was just like his first shift. All right, power play, let's go. One shot goal. Like, all right, there it is.
And it's you know, you like to say something along the lines of it's a it was a tone setter, but to be quite frank, you know, there were stretches after that goal by Evgeny Kuznetsov where they didn't play great. What it allowed them to do was not play great for stretches, give up a goal, and still be tied, which is a completely different kind of situation in the game, right? When you're 1-1 versus 0-1, it just it's not as panicky. It lets you keep sticking to the game plan. So that early goal, I think, paid dividends towards the Canes for just the tempo that they were able to play as the game went along.
And something that Kuznetsov said during the first intermission when he was talking with Hanny Yates on the TV broadcast for Bally, he said it was important getting that early power play goal because it let the New York Islanders know you can't take penalties against us because we're going to burn you on the power play. You can't take penalties against us. If you give us four chances, we're scoring at least one.
And again, I'm it's not a disrespect to him, but the person making that statement, you wouldn't like think of all the people on that power play that would be making the, you can't give us a power play statement. It's, you know, the fourth line center. That's very good for the Canes when you're getting those contributions from those guys. I talk about this in basketball where, like, if there's a game where Steph Curry scores 13 points, but everybody else around him plays well, even if it's a win or a loss, I'm thinking that's best case scenario for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because I know Steph's going to get it going.
Exactly. Right?
Like, Steph Curry isn't going to stay quiet. Like, they won last night with their fourth line doing a lot, or not last night, last game, with their fourth line doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Like, I know Aho, Gensel, and Jarvis are going to score goals, right? Because that's, of course, like that's who they are. That line is going to be buzzing. If you get everyone else on track, that's, you know, a sign of good things. Because, you know, it's going to be more difficult to get those guys in rhythm. And I love that Kuzi started in rhythm, even though he ended the regular season with absolutely no rhythm. And then Gold, could it be anyone else? Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
I thought you put it well earlier when you said he was kind of the one guy that played well from puck drop to final buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of the, and not to say no one else played well, but he was the most consistent. I thought he, you know, and this is always an interesting thing with goalies. When do you kind of bail on your technique and make a play? When he was tripped up by his own guy and he's on the ground, then he sees a shot coming his way. They rang one off the post. He went full like soccer goalie. He was like,
yeah,
like sideways, just arms up, get big, try to be an athlete. And
just a save on Noah Dobson. Just dive for the puck.
Just, yeah, exactly. Like with all of the technique, with all of the practice and all of the, this is how you do it. At a certain point, Freddie's just a big dude with hand-eye coordination and he's out there to make a play. And he did. And it was the appropriate move, and it ended up being one of the kind of deciding factors in the game. And then you pair that with all just the wildly technically sound saves he makes throughout the game. That's when you get a performance like that. Again, he's over 95% save percentage.
It's one of those just by any means necessary. Like you're down, you're out of position. By any means necessary, try and make a save. And he did that. And sure enough, it was like, what, a minute later, roughly, or a minute and a half later, when Stephen Nason gets the go-ahead, be the game-winning goal. Like if he doesn't make that save on Noah Dobson, you can argue, you could say Canes lose game one.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the type of level that he played at. I mean, 33 saves on 34 shots. I mean, the guy was unreal. But when we talked to Mike Maniscalco about this earlier, I know you and I have talked about it as well, is that because of the blood clotting issue that he dealt with, he doesn't have the wear and tear of a full season on his body. He just doesn't. And I think that's something that for him, it's like he's getting into or is in mid-season form and doesn't have 45 starts under his belt or 50 starts under his belt, or he's like has all that, you know, the taxing on his body. He just doesn't have that.
It's and this is a weird connection to make, but you talking about it, my dad's a Patriots fan.
Okay.
Which, you know,
sure.
We forgive him for it.
Do we?
It's my dad. You got to.
That's fair.
But when Brady had the 4-game suspension for Deflategate, I think my dad was one of the only Patriots fans going, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's an old quarterback. Let him take a month and go rest. Like, it's a weird blessing in disguise when players that are a little bit older for their position for reasons that you wouldn't like. Obviously, the suspension and the blood clotting issue are not the same. But as long as everything is good physically and the doctors give him the clearance, it could end up being kind of one of those blessings in disguise that Freddie had 3-4 months off in the middle of the season and got, what was it, 9 games? Like the perfect amount of knocking the rust off going into the postseason.
Yeah, about 10. Yeah.
And Kochetkov played well, no harm, no foul, as far as, you know, falling in the standings or anything. So Freddie Anderson looked like he had all the answers in game one, and they're going to try to maybe not depend on him as much in game two, but it's nice to know he's there if he does get the start, by the way. Let's hear from Anderson quickly here. This is what it was like for him to get the start in game one.
I'm just grateful to be part of playoff hockey. I think we have a really special team, and everyone's going to, yeah, it's going to be part of it and do their job as best as possible. And yeah, like I said, just it's really exciting to be back out here and battling with the guys.
And his teammates definitely noticed the demeanor he played with. Stefan Nason, who was our bronze medalist, here he is talking about Freddie Anderson, who's our gold medalist.
Yeah, Freddie's going to do Freddie, you know. He's going to make it look very calm and easy, and then whenever we need to make a big save, he's going to do his thing. And anytime you get a save like that in general, it builds momentum, and you just go ship and ship and try to do the same thing with Ben Lett.
If you couldn't hear that, and I don't know if it was the wind here outside PNC Arena or if that was a little muffled, he said Freddie's going to make it look calm and easy.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the nicest compliments you can give to a goalie. It's going to, like, a goalie that's confident and still calm and easy instills that in everyone else. And I also think by comparison, it makes it when he does go full, like, highlight reel, it makes it seem cooler because, like, most of his saves are just like, likely.
It's
there,
like,
you go.
Yep, snag.
So then when he goes full, like, flopping around, diving, doing whatever it takes, it does make it look a little bit cooler because by comparison, it's just like, where did that come from? So there you go. That is our podium. Quick, guys that were in the running. Brady Shea.
Yeah.
I mean, multi-points for a defenseman in that game.
Plus two.
Seth Jarvis for taking that puck up under the visor. And then sticking around
shift
to making that hit at the end.
Hit on Noah Dobson. We picked on Noah Dobson a lot today. He's the one that got stuffed by Freddie on that. And they get drilled into the boards by Seth Jarvis.
And you know, you could feel the arena ignite.
And also, it was Martin Natchez that won the board battle against Noah Dobson for the empty net goal. So, yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Dobson.
You're on a heater.
that's the three of them right there. But I mean, there's a host of players. And I actually think, as we've said a few times, they didn't play their best hockey. So, you know, the fact that we had 5, 6, 7 contenders for the podium and they didn't play their best hockey, I hope this decision is more difficult to make in time for the next podium. I hope there's more guys vibing for it. So we are live outside PNC Arena getting ready for game two, where they'll be making their case for the next podium. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that $1 million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text Tim to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text Tim to 600-700 for that deal. Walt Ruff, Canes team reporter. Walt, appreciate you for jumping outside. And first of all, beautiful day. So jumping out with us in the nice, crisp air here. Are we allowed to be a little disappointed by a 3-1 playoff victory for the Canes? Because it seemed like everyone postgame was like a little sour, even though, like, you know, postseason win is a postseason win.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. This is always a lot of fun. Best time of the year. Yeah, I think it's very fair because both the mood postgame and following yesterday's practice was that, I mean, Evgeny Kuznetsov was pretty blunt in saying that the first two periods were unacceptable. I don't know that everyone was going that far, but I liked how Jack Drury put it yesterday. He said it wasn't up to our standard. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the best way to put it. That game came down to the third period when a lot of people probably didn't think it would, right? Especially when you score 135 in, you get off to a good start, and then to be holding your breath for the start of the third period is probably not how a lot of people thought it would go. Hopefully tonight's a different story.
That's probably why Kuzi was saying it's unacceptable. He's like, when I score like that, we're supposed to win. We're supposed to win by five. Like, what is going on here? The other thing everyone's kind of looking forward to, we didn't have a morning skate today, so the goalie situation has been up in the air. What do you kind of expect to see from the rotation, if it is a rotation, or is it Freddie, you know, with the saddle on, as Mike Maniscalco said it earlier?
Yeah, it's a big question. We got about 30 more minutes awaiting. Something in my gut tells me that they will go back to Frederik Andersen. He was really good in game one, 33 out of 34. But at the same time, there's a very understandable argument to be made to go to Pyotr Kochetkov. I mean, they alternated every other game the last 20 of the regular season outside of last Tuesday in Columbus when there wasn't a whole lot on the line. So either or, I think it's a good problem to have. You know, look at a situation like the Colorado Avalanche after that game yesterday. They wish they had one net minor to go to, and now the Canes have two. So a good problem.
We're talking with Walt Ruff, Canes team reporter. I saw this online. Richard Jefferson talking about the NBA tried to spin zone that losing game one is better than winning game one because then – you know you're going back to the chalkboard to change things, and if you win, maybe you don't. I tried to wrap my head around it. I really couldn't. But what I do agree with is if you lose game one, you're more likely to change things up. What do you think the Islanders might throw at the Canes that we didn't see in game one?
Well, it sounds like we're going to see J.G. Pageau back in the lineup for them. He is a, you know, game-changing is the first word that comes to mind, but he certainly makes the Islanders lineup better. Some Islander fans here in front of us agree.
What a time for them to walk by. Yeah. By the way. We talk so much about the Canes, one little bit about the Islanders, and there's two guys in jerseys right in front of us.
he's obviously going to help that lineup. It looks like they'll turn back to Semyon Varlamov, who was pretty good himself in game one. Going back to RJ's comments, I don't know that the numbers agree with losing game one.
I tried. I listened to the whole thing. It didn't make any sense.
Well, where I think that does come into play in this situation is what we were just speaking on, in the fact that the Canes were not at their best, right? So they have adjustments to make. They know they have to be better tonight. The Islanders are probably thinking the same, but hearing Patrick Waugh and some of their players speak postgame, they were pretty pleased with the way that they played. They just didn't capitalize their chances. So then I spin that forward into, is there something to be said for taking the opposition's best punch in game one and you still come out on top? That's got to be a positive, right?
Especially when you don't feel like you played your A game and you get the win. Speaking of not playing their A game, Aho, Gensel, Jarvis, all that talk, the first line buzzing. I've praised them to no end, as many have. No goals, no assists, a zero in the plus minus for the three of them collectively. Why weren't they as on fire as kind of they've been recently?
They were probably due for a cool game. I mean, they'd been so hot coming in. Gensel with an 8-game
point streak.
Which is
what I just expected at this point. Yeah. Like, I need multi-points every game from each of you or else I'm going to go, what the heck?
That's totally fair. And look at it through that lens, too. They gave you, I don't want to say not much of anything because they still played an impact in the game. Maybe not so much on the score sheet, but if they can give you zeros and you still find a way to win, that's a good thing too.
Again, it's all where you're spinning it.
Yeah.
And that hit by Jarvis on Noah True. Dobson was Huge. Massive in the third period. It's like, hey, you know what? I don't care if you're bigger than me. I'm still going to skate right through you.
Yeah.
The young guys for the Canes really showing their toughness stripes. You got Jack Drury out there with gauze stuffed up his nose. Jarvis takes the hit off the head and then ends up being the big hit later on. Growing up, are we seeing that with these guys or are they already grown?
Well, yes and no, right? Yeah, yes, when you say that they've been in the league now for a couple of years, they know what this time of year is like. No, when you remember they're, what, 24 and 21 years old, 22 years old, doesn't make any of us feel any younger.
They think they're grown.
Yeah, exactly.
Young vets.
That's a great point, though, because that hit was a key part. I believe it was the third period.
And Jack
Drury is a guy who, in the first round last year, suffered an upper body injury. He got knocked out of the series. I believe it was game four on Long Island early. So he probably feels like he's got something to prove. And a man we were just speaking on, J.G. Pageau, that's the same guy that broke Teuvo Teravainen's hand with a slash. So these guys know they've got to be up for games like this. And it certainly appeared that they were to start the game on Saturday, but there's more to get to there.
We're talking with Walt Ruff, Canes team reporter. Walt, for fun, we're doing a little competition. Who scores the first goal for the Canes and in what period?
Okay. Well, I'm optimistic for a good start, right? Okay. And we know
Kuzi, the second minute. that would have hit the in game one. So
yeah,
optimistic would have worked.
But you know what? I'm going to go with Brady Shea. We know that this team likes to get a lot of its offense from the blue line. Mm-hmm. And I think the Canes learned a valuable lesson in game one. Look at the way that their goals were scored. Kuznetsov's shot came with a great screen in front by Steph Nason. Mm-hmm. Oh. And then on the second one, Shea gets the tip that knocks it down in front. So you have to have that traffic in front of Semyon Varlamov. And I think we're going to see more of that tonight. So I think the blue line will be firing at will, and that's why I say Brady Shea.
Stephen,
which period?
First period? First, okay. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, let's get this thing going.
Steph Nason, huge impact, not really talked about. We've been discussing it a bit, but you know, Dennis likes to say his game is built for the postseason. Are you agreeing with that one?
Totally. I think that's a great observation. And on the other side of what we were saying with Jake Gensel, Sebastian Aho, guys who were hot, I don't like saying guys were cool coming into the playoffs, but it was a timely goal for Steph Nason, right? Yeah. It had been a little bit since we've seen him chip in, and he
timely
is one
goal
of those
for Kuzi.
Exactly. And I believe Steph Nason scored in the first round last year as well against the New York. Maybe was the game one the power play goal that got deflected in by like the Islanders defender off the routine dumping. I don't know if that was game one, but yeah, he just seems to pop up in these areas. And the goal on Saturday was a little bit more typical for his game in and around the net, but you'll take contributions anywhere you can get them.
I love the is. Could it possibly be? And then you list all of the details about the goal.
Like, sure, we'll go
could,
with that.
Could it possibly be with it was 12:38 remaining in the second period?
I just don't remember what game it was, but it started to come to me as I was kind of vocalizing it.
You need to follow Walt Ruff on Twitter. He's one of my favorite follows. He breaks it down as the game goes along with that kind of unbelievable recall and all the details. Walt, we really appreciate you for jumping out here, and we'll continue to follow along with all your work on the team site and on Twitter.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Once again, that's Walt Ruff, Canes team reporter.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.